So with that, I'd like to call to order the formal session of the Commonwealth Transportation Board, the meeting for February 2015. As we do with all our meetings, I'd ask you all to stand and help me say the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Our first order of business is going to be public comment. Now, I'm going to just review the guidelines with this. Our guidelines are each speaker, it's my intent to have everyone who wants to speak, speak. Each speaker will be limited to 3 minutes. And there will be a timer up here, so when you see 2.5 minutes, I'll give you a signal, and I would politely ask you to wrap up. We're supposed to only go into public comment for our guidelines for 30 minutes, but it's my intent to let everybody who wants to speak, speak. So I would ask you to be brief and stay within the time limit, and please don't think I'm being discourteous when I say 3 minutes is up, and I would ask you to wrap up to allow other speakers. If we get to where there's a lot more speakers, then I may limit the 3 minutes down because I want to have everybody have a chance to speak. I would ask you all to be courteous, make your point briefly, please, and to make sure that everybody here has a chance to speak what's on their mind. I'm going to take the speakers in order of which they signed up, and I would ask, what I'll probably do, ask forgiveness if I mispronounce your name or your title. Please forgive me. It's not meant to be disrespectful. And I would probably let the next person who's going to be up know that they're going to be up next so that they can prepare their remarks and we can keep this going. So that's the rules. Again, my name is Aubrey Lane. I'm the Secretary of Transportation and the Chair of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. One more thing about process. I do not vote unless there is a tie. So the members here are the ones that will vote. If there is a tie, then our rules allow me to break that tie. So that's how we're set up. And with that, we're going to go ahead and start the public comment. And I think, first of all, we have Mayor Hujak from Charlottesville. And welcome this morning. Next on the deck would be Dick Holland. So if you'll be ready, Mr. Holland. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Stanley Hujak, Mayor of the City of Charlottesville. I'm very pleased to be here today. Charlottesville area has experienced significant growth over the last 15 years, especially in Route 29 area. This traffic is congested. For that reason, the City of Charlottesville has been a long-time supporter of creation of parallel roads which will help congestion. One of these roads is Burkmore Drive, which is located in Albemarle County, while other one, Hillsdale Drive, will connect City of Charlottesville and County. We consider both of these projects important to move forward with dealing with many of the regional transportation problems. Near Iron Road, 29 great separated intersection will also improve the flow of traffic. City has joined our friends in Albemarle County Board of Supervisors to support this project. We recognize this is a long-term positive benefit to our area. It is our intent to work with the businesses on the Route 29 intersection. We are also working closely with the Albemarle County and VDOT on Route 29-250 interchange project, commonly known as Best Buy projects. And I think these projects combined together will improve the traffic in our community. We also appreciate that there are funding available for these projects. We look forward to seeing them completed. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much. Mr. Dick Holland, and then after that, Billy Waltney. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You know, 3 minutes is not long, and when you stutter as I do, it's really not very long. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the privilege and opportunity to speak before you this morning, and I'll get right to it. I see three key points. I'm addressing the Route 460 project. Number one, with prior mistakes, including signed contracts, wasted efforts, and money, the pressure is on the state and VDOT to do something, I think, to save further embarrassment. Why not stop the mistakes here rather than let them continue? 17 miles of road takes evacuation traffic from Eastern Tidewater and bottlenecks it at Zuni, the worst flood zone west of the beach. That's not helping evacuation. It's complicating it and putting people still at significant risk. In my honest opinion, this decision is to appease Mobile 460 Partners to head off possible suits. And again, I encourage you, stop the mistakes. Here, the construction of this road is devastating to Windsor's future growth and long-term survival. It also impacts many of our farmers and other landowners financially and from a safety standpoint. The Corps of Engineers, the state, and now VDOT are placing a few acres of wetlands ahead of the future and welfare of a town. And the legitimate needs and concerns of real people. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something gravely wrong and flawed here. Does this rationale make a lot of sense? Does it seem right, or does it seem like government is way out of control, imposing on us their liberal environmental agenda at the expense of what should be much more dear and sacred? VDOT will tell you the driving motivation behind adjusting Route 460 is evacuation from natural disasters. Think about this. The proposed 460 route dumps traffic directly into the worst flood zone east of Richmond. You stepping up and saying no to no forces them to come back with a more reasonable and more prudent route that better serves the safety of the citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia. You're the last line of defense that is not rolled over and said, whatever is good enough. You're the last hope to protect a town and real people with real concerns, needs, and dangers and say no to something that is simply wrong, motivated by wrong. You're the last line of defense for common sense. I challenge you, if you got the backbone to do what is right, today, no one else has. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Waltney, and then on deck is Mr. Roundtree, Tommy Roundtree. Good morning, sir.
Thank you. 460 project. Approximately $300 million of taxpayers' money has been spent, and not one inch of road has been built. Now VDOT wants to approve a scaled-down version of 17 miles to end in Zuni at a cost of over $400 million. The southern route, which has always been the preferred route, could not be built because it destroyed too many acres of wetlands. But there are wetlands on the northern route as well. Neither VDOT nor the Army Corps engineers has put one foot on the ground to delineate any wetlands. The new alternative roads do not accomplish the stated goals of this project. Maintains the maximum hurricane evacuation capacity. It may get traffic out of Hampton Roads, but once again, to Zuni. You're taking a divided highway and putting cars and trucks back onto four-lane undivided highway, causing a choke point. Low crash rate. That may be true, but here again, 17 miles down the road, you put all this traffic back on a four-lane undivided, unimproved road, slower speeds. Travel time savings. This road can't be high speed with undrained intersections. We have been told by Commissioner Kilpatrick that farm equipment will be able to use this road. Impacts fewest acres of wetlands of all alternatives. This is false. Colonel Olson with the Army Corps Engineers told us we met that the fewest acres of wetlands disturbed would be to upgrade the existing 460, the most effective new route for freight. This new route does not go to Alawite Intermodal Park or the Charlotte T. Highland Industrial Park. Instead, it goes away from local economic development. This new alternative is a far cry from what was originally proposed and what the southern alternative was to accomplish. The new hybrid is not high speed, cannot be tolled, and will not pay for itself. At a meeting last Friday in Richmond that I attended, Secretary Lane said, 460 will not carry the volume at any stage compared to other roads because the road arrangements will not be that heavily traveled. So why spend $400 million on this road? Of all the transportation needs across the state, just think how much good for the Commonwealth $400 to $500 million could do to a region that truly has traffic problems. Another issue is the citizens we planted on January 12th at this new hybrid, and none of which represented any of the previous public hearings. What is the big rush to get this project passed by the CTV board by February 18th? Our recommendation would be to upgrade the existing 460. It affects less wetlands. It would cost less money since you already have a right-of-way, and it would disturb less farmland. I do not know how we stop the madness of wetlands, but every few years, the definition of what is a wetland changes. This has to stop.
30 seconds, Mr. Waltney.
Somehow, public safety, economic growth, and development, farmland, and what is the best for the Commonwealth of Virginia has to prevail. Commissioner Kilpatrick said at the meeting last Friday that a new interstate-type road could probably never be built in the state of Virginia now because of wetland issues and the Army Corps engineers. This is a disturbing and dangerous fact that unelected officials can control the future of the Commonwealth. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Roundtree, and then Mr. Alton, Rex Alton. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Secretary, members of the board. The predicament we find ourselves in this morning reminds me of a movie that I once saw with Sean Connery and Harrison Ford. I think it was called Last Crusade. Sean and Harrison were caught in a revolving fireplace in a castle in Germany. On one side, there was a room on fire burning like a blowtorch, and on the other side was a room full of German soldiers with machine guns. After going around about twice, Sean Connery returned to Harrison Ford and said, "Our position has not improved." And that's how we feel. We've been going through all these different scenarios and proposals, but yet we're still in the same boat. The Army Corps of Engineers is required under the Clean Water Act to only permit the least environmentally damaging practical alternative. Cutting to the chase, when VDOT determined that upgrading the existing 460 was no longer practical and no longer met the needs of the project, it was taken off the table and the Army Corps did not consider it. We think that if the existing 460 is upgraded to VDOT's criteria, that it would meet and be a better solution to our problems. The roadway deficiencies, the safety, the freight traffic, hurricane evacuation. I'll speak just a second to military connectivity. As a young boy, I don't even think I was a teenager, in the October of the Cuban Missile Crisis, I can remember picking corn and hauling things on Daddy's farm, which is right beside 460, and seeing tank after tank after tank being driven from Camp Pickett, Fort Pickett, onto a ship in Norfolk and headed to Florida for what we thought would be the invasion of Cuba. The two middle lanes of 460 are built like a tank. They are a military highway, and you would not have that with the new road. Just summarizing again, upgrade the new 460. That road desperately needs work. We can kill two birds with one stone. People are dying on that road, and we can stop it quicker by going there than we could the other way, because we're not even addressing the last two-thirds of the road. So, again, we think upgrading the current 460 is the best way to go. It'll be even less wetlands than the hybrid. Everybody will benefit, the ports, localities, farms, businesses, and the state of Virginia. It has been addressed how sticky this 460 thing has been. It reminds me of a story I used to read my children called Brer Rabbit and the Tar Baby. 460 is the tar baby, and right now it's laying on the ground. If anybody touches it, it's yours. You're going to be stuck to it. And the harder you try to get away from it, the stucker you'll get. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, very much. Mr. Alton, and then Diantha McKeel. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Secretary Lane, Board. Glad to be here. By the way, that hourglass is fairly intimidating. Just want to let you know that. My name is Rex Alton, and I'm chairman of the Isle of Wight Board of Supervisors. It is our county and our community that will be impacted by this project to a greater degree than any other locality. Last Wednesday night, February 11th, our board passed a resolution to support the recommended route to U.S. 460 with conditions. Though not our first choice as to the route, we understand this will be the only alternative being considered. That being said, we understand that this project addresses a desperately needed situation involving a critically dangerous corridor. This is possibly our last opportunity to deal with this. This project also addresses a fundamental transportation challenge to expedite traffic to and from our port that will have an increasing impact on our region, our state, and our nation. As the Army Corps expressed to us, it's our best interest for those cargoes to come here. Therefore, we as a board can support this route, provided that an interchange is included where it crosses the old 460. For this alone will provide access to our investment of $17 million in the Shirley T. Holland Intermodal Park, encompassing 974 developable acres that currently includes Green Mountain Coffee, Cost Plus, and Safeco. This park adjoins an additional 1,800 acres owned by Norfolk Southern Railroad. Both Green Mountain and Norfolk Southern have written letters of support, which should be in your possession. I cannot overemphasize the need for such an interchange. Without it, future growth in this area of our community and our region will essentially be eliminated, and future growth for the port and the state of Virginia will be hampered. If you approve this road, this interchange absolutely must be included for the benefit of all Virginians. The resolution we passed that you have in your possession was a unanimous decision, but it was not an easy one. Let me explain. The area through which this road passes is rural. It encompasses trees and lands and fields and views that we who inhabit this area have long cherished. To us, it is not simply dirt or real estate. It is a part of who we are. This road will pass through fields and farms that have been passed from great-grandfather to grandfather to a father who now waits to pass it to his son or daughter. And some of those people just spoke. It is part of our DNA. I should know, for I too am a farmer. These people who steward this land that has become a part of them, never thought in 1,000 years that a road would pass through such an area that they consider almost sacred. I therefore urge you, as you approve this route, if you do, as we requested in our resolution, to work as much as humanly possible with those whose lives will be changed forever by the impact of your decision. I know this is called progress, but my goodness, it comes at a great price, does it not?
Yes,
in closing, I'd like to thank the VDOT officials, Mr. Kilpatrick, Mr. Utterback, Angel Deem, and her team have been excellent to work with. Delegate Chris Jones and Secretary Lane for having a listening ear, and also thanks to this board,
for working
with us.
Thank you. Diantha McKeel and then Ken Boyd.
Good morning. I'm Diantha McKeel, a supervisor representing residents living in the Albemarle County Urban Ring, the Jack Jewett Magisterial District. I listened to your meeting yesterday and heard the question posed, where are the cars now? I can tell you where some of those cars are. They're traveling in and along the portion of U.S. Route 29 highway that runs through Albemarle County. Most citizens in Albemarle County agree that we have a traffic congestion problem on Route 29. And thankfully, we now have a plan to address the current situation, the Route 29 Solutions Package. This package of projects works together to accomplish two goals. One, to improve traffic flow by addressing some of the worst tie-ups on Route 29. And two, creates a new alternative routes for local drivers to reach and get between many destinations along the corridor. Thank you for modeling an open and transparent public engagement process through the work of Mr. Philip Schuchat, the advisory panel, and now the ongoing projects delivery panel. Both panels have provided invaluable input, discussions, and suggestions along our community's most recent transportation infrastructure improvement journey. We are fortunate to be the recipient of such a significant investment from the state to improve Route 29, money returned back to our locality. I'm excited about what these projects mean for our community and its future. In closing, I strongly support the Route 29 solution package and look forward to their timely completion in 2017. And I have a little bit of time left. I just want to give a shout out that everybody is aware that a beagle last night won Best in Show at the Westminster Dog Show. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Boyd, and then I hope Grant, is it Crumbler? Excuse me, sir.
Good morning. My name is Ken Boyd, and I am currently the longest sitting member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. And I have the distinction of being the lone vote against the Solutions 29 package. I also have the distinction of representing the most number of documented complaints against this particular solution. There's over 14,000 names on this document here. And that's documented. That's not just hearsay. That's not just things that these are people that have signed challenges to the solutions package. Now, I'm here today to talk about an intersection, a grade separated intersection, which is a level of service C, overall level of service C. So it's not an endangered or bad intersection at this point. It's a level of service C. Our comprehensive plan requires that before we move forward with any grade separated interchanges that are in that comprehensive plan, that we do a small area study and that we look at the alternatives to building an interchange to it. In fact, it says that we should maintain it at grade for as long as possible. That's what our comprehensive plan, that's what the local plan says about this, and something that I want to ask that you all to do. We could simply do this by resequencing the way that you're going to do the solutions package. Build the parallel roads, which are designed to take the traffic off of 29. See if they work. If we build those parallel roads first, if we improve the Best Buy ramp, if we widen 29 north of Polo Grounds Road, then we see if those things work before we go to the destruction of the business and economic vitality of our community by putting a grade-separated interchange there, which is going to hurt a lot of small businesses. And we have to be good stewards of the economic vitality of our county. And that's one thing we're trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do, is to say, let's don't build this grade-separated interchange until we prove that it's needed. Now, you'll hear numbers that project that we'll need it by 2040. Now, I don't know ever of the Commonwealth of Virginia having written a plan which is 40 years out, which is 25 years out. We've solved the problem 25 years in advance. So I don't think that this is something that has to be done today. We certainly would like the time, and our community, with at least close to 14,000 of them, would like to have the time to do a small area study to resequence these things, see if the parallel roads work like they're supposed to work, and then give us the chance to bring the community into it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll take those if you'd like us to, sir. Would you like to put those in record?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, be fine. Yes, sir. We'll pass them. Carol will come get them. She'll come get them. Thank you, sir. Is it Grambler? Yeah, thank you, Grambler. Good to see you. And then next up is, and I can't read this. Let me type, is it Frank Burkhead? Okay, yes. Okay, you're up. You're up next. Yes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I just want to state up front that I support the Solutions 29 package with the exception of the Route 29 GSI. As Secretary Lane acknowledged on NPR recently, Commissioner Kilpatrick no doubt recognises, Mr. Chouquette has acknowledged, the proposed Route 29 Rio Road GSI does not solve the through traffic problems nor begin to solve the through traffic problems on 29. It does not replace a bypass. Almost 100% of Charlottesvillians support the proposed Solutions 29 package, with the exception of the GSI. Less than 1 in 5, when polled, support the GSI at that critical junction. Putting a GSI at this critical commercial junction would be tantamount to putting a limited access treatment on West Broad in front of Short Punt Mall. The stated purpose and need for the GSI is not supported by data. Accidents are down across that intersection. Traffic is down on that section and that corridor. I shared a document with you this morning that I put together. It's based on VDOT data and Walden Cooper data. You can check the references. The numbers here are accurate. And if you look at the first red line, that shows you cumulative percentage traffic growth from 1990 to 2002. It was going up at a very strong and steady rate. Something changed in 2002. If you look at the orange line, that's the actual cumulative percentage traffic increase across that same sector, 2002 through 2014. It's gone down by 9.5% between Hydraulic and Rio in the last 12 years. Now, if you watch the cumulative percentage population growth through 2014 and then Walden Cooper's extrapolation beyond that, you'll see that it's tracked pretty steady for a long, long time. The traffic diverted in 2002, took another course. Now, the premise of the GSI is that suddenly traffic is going to start tracking population again, and I contend that that's unlikely for a number of reasons, and those reasons are noted there. We're in a new economy.
30 seconds, sir.
People are telecommuting. The road network has matured. People have found other options and are using those. The parallel road network will benefit that sector significantly and bleed traffic away from that intersection. I understand why VDOT's advocating this if you support the premise that traffic will once again follow population, but the last 12 years has indicated that's not the case on that sector. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. Mr. Burkhead, and then we have Richard Settle. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Frank Burkhead. I'm a lifelong resident of Albemarle County. The same project, and I'm for the improvements except the Great Separate Interchange. The same project at Rio and Route 29 was designed by Whitman, Regard and Associates under a VDOT contract in 1994-1995, and after full review and discussion at the CTB level, is rejected by a vote of all members with one exception. The public hearing documents for the 94-95 project were recorded in four thick blue books and distributed to CTB members and indicate the same public rejection that we have witnessed this time. There was a recent meeting in Albemarle County sponsored by Ken Boyd, a town hall where over 400 residents showed up and only one of the residents was for the GSI. In a recent survey conducted by the Richmond-based Conquest Communications Group, results showed 58.9% of respondents opposed the 1 mile project, with only 20% in favor. Based upon Secretary Lane's comments and Philip Chousset's comments that this GSI will not solve the through traffic issue, the question is why are we in this great rush to build this very questionable project? From a local point of view, we know there are better and more effective solutions that will not cost $84 million and tear our community apart. I've lived here all in Charlottesville, I'm all my life. This will tear our community apart. Ian Lockwood of the Tool Design Group has already spent a better part of 3 days looking at the project and suggesting a better approach. I ask that this vote be delayed long enough to look at some other options. We stand ready to work with VDOT in a more creative and less impactive and less costly approach to the perceived local traffic concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. Mr. Settle, and then Brad Sheffield. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Secretary Lane, members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you this morning. My name is Richard Settle. I am a former member and chair of the Virginia Coalfield Economic Development Authority. And our mission at VCETA is to enhance the economic base of our Commonwealth's 7-county and 1-city coalfields region. We're funded almost entirely by the severance taxes collected on the coal and natural gas produced in the region. Thus, the millions of dollars that we've been able to spend towards revitalizing our economy can rightly be categorized as local funds. This is a tax voluntarily imposed by the coal industry with the express purpose of meeting the challenges posed by a steadily declining coal economy and the accompanying job losses we faced. Our efforts have been entirely focused on economic sectors besides the energy sector. Buchanan County alone has spent $22.5 million on economic development projects. Millions have also been invested by our localities in coal road improvement projects with the cooperation and assistance of VDOT. As the coal industry and our general economy experiences a decline in activity and employment opportunities, there are few new jobs available to replace those we've lost. We're determined, though, to pursue job creation as the major focus of our efforts. Over the years, the VCETA has approved over $163 million in funding to attract new jobs to our region. Nearly $100 million of this funding has been projects in the counties of Buchanan, Dickinson, and Wise, where the Coalfields Expressway and Quarter Q projects are located. These critical transportation initiatives are absolutely essential to providing the kind of improvements needed to provide access to existing industrial parks and open new lands for development. The 3,000-acre Southern Gap Park in Buchanan County is well under development and will make residential, business, and light industrial sites available as never before. Similar parks are in various stages of development in Dickinson and Wise counties, which will benefit from this improved four-lane highway access. All of the 102 projects helped by the
30 seconds, sir.
Thank you. Helped by the nearly $100 million the local FACITA funds will be greatly enhanced by the improved access that these essential projects will provide. On behalf of the FACITA and our members and localities, I respectfully request that the CPB complete the development of CFX and Quarter Q. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, very much. Mr. Sheffield, and then Carita Richardson.
Good morning, sir. Thank you all for allowing us to speak and interrupt your work session earlier this week, yesterday. I'm the Rio District Representative, and I'm all County Board of Supervisors. I'm one of the five supervisors who support the US 29 solution package. I also serve on the Metropolitan Planning Organization with Ann Malik as representatives of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. And I have the fortunate benefit of serving on the Project Delivery Advisory Panel that VDOT has set up. We meet every other Thursday. It's a very thorough process, and I greatly appreciate setting that up because it's provided a lot of material for a lot of conversations. My district has about 18,000 people in it, and the county has about 103. We're the ninth most populated county in the state. So it's not reasonable for me to stand up here and say I represent one person or even a group. You know, as supervisor, our job is actually to balance a lot of the public input that we get from across the county, a lot of the opinions that we hear, as well as the growth that we know has happened and is going to occur and the policies that we have in place. We've got to balance all that and come up with the decisions that can actually get things done and move forward with that. And without a doubt, when there's opposition to projects, those decisions get really hard. But I can tell you that with those decisions comes a lot of conversations. And I'm a fairly new supervisor. I'm not as seasoned as Mr. Boyd is, but I went door-to-door campaigning, and I believe some of you have served locally, and you know that that is the truest way of getting the public's opinion is going door-to-door. I've talked to thousands of people for the last 2 years on this topic, and I can tell you, absent of the rhetoric, absent of confusing information, the number one thing that people say is just get something done. Stop studying this corridor to death and get something done. And then the other topics that come up, and this kind of goes to a comment I heard yesterday, was growth. People are so tired of seeing such an amount of growth and then having to make some sort of reconciliation with the impacts of that. And I can tell you, the Corkmar Drive Extension Project came up in your discussion yesterday, and that's in my district as well. I can tell you there's a huge amount of opposition. It's in the rural area, and repeatedly it tries to come back into the growth area. And there's always opposition about that. So not only is there going to be opposition about a road, there's always opposition about growth, there's always opposition about taxes. In Albemarle County, there's always seems to be opposition
seconds,
about
sir.
Something. So just in closing, I'll just say that, you know, there's definitely people who are against this because they want the bypass back. There's people against or for it because they want to see the bypass go away. But there's a lot of people in the middle who just keep telling me, just get something done. Just stop doing the studying, stop doing the debating, and get something done. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Richardson, and then Nancy Smith.
Esteemed members of the CTB, thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. I am the mayor of Windsor, Virginia, which Route 460 does go through. I am here today to speak to you with some of the concerns of myself and the residents in the Windsor area. I have long been a proponent of a new and improved Route 460, and I supported Governor McAuliffe's decision to do an SEIS. That study clearly stated that the least environmentally damaging plan was alternative 4 to redo the existing Route 460, and it was much less costly. The plan that is proposed to you, I believe, has several problems that are not being identified or discussed. The Army Corps is by law or has by law to approve the plan with the fewest environmental impacts unless that plan does not meet the purpose and needs. So we are being told that the new plan that is proposed with the northern bypass around Windsor better meets the purposes of economic development and for evacuation for the region. First of all, the northern bypass goes to the north. The land to be developed is to the south of us. On the western end, those trucks will still for a long time be coming through the town of Windsor to get to the northern bypass, whether they're going east or west on it. So they will still be traveling on parts of the old road in parts that are very congested for some of them. I'm also concerned about evacuation of the 1.7 million residents in Hampton Roads. What we have now is impossible to get those people out. If we had a nuclear accident or we had a level 4 or 5 hurricane bearing down on us, you would never be able to evacuate it. So doing nothing is not a possibility in my mind. However, you're only doing 17 miles. And once you leave those 17 miles with all of these people trying to evacuate and bumper-to-bumper traffic, you're going to go to a road that has no shoulders to get emergency vehicles to, and you're going to have a parking lot there. So I think it is, you need to look more closely at all the facts, so I'm asking you to delay this decision. Respectfully, if you approve the proposed route now, I believe you will be approving one of the costliest rural roads per acre ever built in Virginia, and it does not sufficiently address the critical purposes of evacuation and economic development. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to leave these up.
Yes, ma'am. We'll get them. You can play them on the table right here, and we'll be happy to take them. Ms. Smith, and then Marley Green.
Good morning, Nancy. I'm Smith with the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance. I'm not going to speak about 29 or 460, but other topics that you addressed yesterday. In regards first to the V-Trans goals and objectives, while certainly these are commendable, I think that they are extremely far-reaching and seemingly designed to show more that every conceivable option and agenda is being considered as opposed to advancing what our core mobility needs to move the most people, goods, and services in the most efficient manner. The V-Trans 5 goals, the Alliance believes that economic prosperity is the most important and should be the prime, if not sole focus. If the Commonwealth can reduce congestion and improve reliability in key corridors, by definition, it will to a great extent improve accessibility, safety and operations, management, and build healthy, sustainable communities. Now, in terms of the V-Trans 2040 needs assessment, as currently structured, it's likely to identify a list of projects far more extensive than actually achievable. Is it not better to approach, maybe start with the corridors of statewide significance and possibly some regional analysis? But a look at local level analysis really does seem to stretch the envelope. And as with other ongoing analysis, there are far too many submeasures listed that could dilute the focus of more important investments. And standards such as preferred economy beg the question as to what is really a realistic economic output for the Commonwealth. Now, moving on to House Bill 2, the Alliance was a strong supporter of House Bill 2 as originally written, believing that congestion reduction and economic development should be primary, if not only focus for transportation investments. Again, address these needs and the benefit of other goals will follow. Yet since then, House Bill 2 has experienced significant mission creep. New elements seem to accompany every presentation, and now land use is in the process, even though no language appeared in the bill. The issue isn't whether land use is without importance, but it's simply that the more elements you add, the more complex the analysis becomes, and the greater likelihood that the final product will be highly diluted and fall far short of legislative intent. At a minimum, we think that the small sample of metro and rural area projects should be evaluated to determine the extent to which the current ratings proposed make sense before moving on to more extensive analysis. So finally, in regards to I-66 inside the Beltway, the need for 4 lanes in each direction was well documented 4 decades ago and has been apparent for many years. HOV3 and upgraded bus service inside the Beltway are warranted, but should be done in conjunction with construction of new lanes. introduction of tolling inside that corridor, particularly in a non-peak direction, is likely to force traffic onto parallel streets and exacerbate congestion for hours after HOV and toll requirements.
Can I ask you to wrap up, please?
Absent this new capacity, travelers, as you see today, are forced to sit in the same congestion they are now for free and to seek alternative neighborhood routes. So just quickly in conclusion.
No, ma'am, I think 3 minutes for everybody. Thank you very much for your comments. I appreciate your comments, but we're going to treat everybody the same. Marley Green, excuse me, and then Kate Roth. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for taking comment this morning. My name is Marley Green. I live in Pound, Virginia, down in Wise County. I wanted to talk about the Section 3B of the Coalfield Expressway. For a long time, you know, folks, not a lot of folks chose to take a good look at the CFX in the mouth, so to speak, you know, thinking that this was a gift horse and just what we needed in Southwest Virginia. But on request from a number of residents in Pound and in Clintwood, our groups, I work with the Sierra Club and the Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards, we started taking a look at the road, and you know, we've been here a couple times now to share some of our concerns about the CFX. You know, what we found is a lot of lofty promises and perhaps unrealistic promises. And a lot of people down along the route are wondering if this is really the best thing for Southwest Virginia, and if we're really maybe being taken for a ride by Alpha and Pioneer coal companies. You know, when the route was realigned for what's being called coal synergy, what's really happening there is that we're talking about surface mining, about strip mining, and we're talking about valley fills and mountaintop removal, and these are operations that have been demonstrated to hurt water, to hurt public health, and you know, we're really concerned about the impacts that that kind of approach to road building is going to have in the long run in Southwest Virginia. Our groups recently held a series of community forums along the route to gather input on citizens' alternatives that could be pursued along the route to improve transportation access and improve safety. And I wanted to leave a report about that with you all for the record. We also interviewed and recorded a few folks who live along the route who just wanted to share their ideas and their thoughts with the Commonwealth Transportation Board members. I just wanted to quote one very quickly, Willie Dotson, who also lives in Pound. And he wanted to share with you all that, you know, we've depended on coal in Southwest Virginia for a long time, but that time's coming to an end. Anybody who denies it isn't looking at all the facts and figures. But in the future, we're going to be depending on our water and on our forests and on the natural resources that are drawing people into our area. And I think that the coal synergy approach to the Coalfield Expressway really endangers those resources and the economic future of Southwest Virginia. So I ask that you don't approve the realignment for 3B. At the very least, we need more study of the impacts for this road before we move forward building it. So thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Kate Roa, and then Sally Thomas.
Yes, we'll get those.
Good morning.
Good morning, Secretary Lane, members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. Thank you for taking our comment this morning. My name is Kate Ruth, and I'm the campaign director for Appalachian Voices. I come this morning to speak on behalf of the Coalfield Expressway and the decision before you on Section 3B. For the last several years, our organization and our members have been engaged in the process around the Coalfield Expressway. We've spoken in front of you before regarding our concerns. But our background on these issues extend long before that, to the mid-90s when our organization was formed. Funnily enough, this road project has been discussed since that time as well. And while we appreciate the positive dialogue that we've had in the last year with the administration, with Federal Highways, and especially the decision by Federal Highways to require a supplemental environmental impact statement to be conducted on Section 2 of the Coalfield Expressway, the road still faces significant challenges. In addition to the environmental impacts that my colleague, Mr. Green, just spoke to related to mountaintop removal, I want to just quickly address a couple of additional points that we have heard from our members and the residents along the proposed road. First, the design of this road was to bring economic stimulus to Southwest Virginia, something that is much needed. And we feel strongly that mountaintop removal and surface coal mining have no role in a 21st century economy for Southwest Virginia. Instead, we should be analyzing economic models that optimize the region's assets and allow for greater economic stimulus than being continued to be tied to a declining resource. Continuing to destroy the environment of the region is in direct competition with the original purpose of this road. Secondly, we're concerned with the financial viability of this project. The public-private partnership with coal companies is a risky model. Coal production is in decline. Central Appalachian coal is no longer in the demand that it was previously because of the energy market. Therefore, we're concerned that the financial viability of completing this partnership is at question. Will the companies mine the coal and then the road not get completed? That's certainly a concern that we've heard over and over within the region. So in conclusion, there must be more environmental analysis, comprehensive of all of the sections of this road, not piecemeal the way that it's being conducted. And there also needs to be thorough modeling of economic impacts, alternatives, and financial feasibility before this proposal advances. With me, I'm also bringing comments from our members that I'd like to leave for the record, and we ask that the Commonwealth Transportation Board again require further comprehensive environmental analysis and financial analysis before this project advances. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. And we'll take those in, sir, ma'am. Sally Thomas and then Liz Palmer. Good morning.
Good morning,
ma'am.
And thank you. I'm talking on the 29 solutions. I'm Sally Thomas. 22 years ago, 1993, I ran for the Alamo County Board of Supervisors as a write-in candidate. You know, write-ins never win. My opponent opposed the grade-separated intersection at Rio. I favored it, and this was part of the campaign. Although my unusual victory and subsequent 16 years on the Board of Supervisors of Alamo County reflected public sentiment, we continued to fight over this issue. A design that was proposed for a sprawling cloverleaf traumatized the landowners and businesses on 29 and Rio. But all studies that the MPO did over those 22 years and even before showed that a grade-separated intersection is the only solution that raises the level of service for through and local traffic. The impasse has been broken by the design for 29 that Mr. Schuchat discussed with you yesterday. Finally, a project that keeps open the needed business access improves flow east-west and north-south. The parallel roads by themselves only exacerbate the problem at Rio because they funnel more traffic to either side of that intersection. As traffic tries to get from one of those parallel roads to the other, they have to go over Rio's intersection. They would block that traffic. Solutions are a package with Rio and the grade-separated intersection interchange, widening, coming first. It's the logical step. I think the ghost of that old cloverleaf haunts the opponents. Their well-financed public campaign has scared many residents, but Mr. Schuchat went through the errors in that campaign yesterday, and I trust that you will do the logical and correct thing, vote in favor of the package of solutions for Route 29. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Thomas. Liz Palmer, and then we have Ann Malik. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Thank you very much for allowing us to speak this morning. My name is Liz Palmer. I am the Vice Chair of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Our Chair, Jane Dittmar, unfortunately was unable to be here today because of illness, so I will be speaking on behalf of the Board majority. We would like to express our appreciation to the CTV for the team of VDOT engineers assigned to the project, to the Charlottesville Residency for their coordination and communication efforts, and to Philip Schuchat for his facilitation of the design delivery panel. Their professionalism and dedication was nothing less than exceptional, and we're very grateful for the unprecedented support. The majority of our board has supported the package from its first debut and adopted a resolution in August of 2014, which stated, the board supports the Route 29 Solutions Package as a significant infrastructure investment to improve mobility, address the worst congestion areas and highest crash locations, minimize environmental impacts, and produce a reasonable return on taxpayer dollars. We have not wavered in our support. We recognize that the package must be implemented in its entirety in order to maximize improvements in mobility through the corridor and congestion within the corridor. Although we have not done a push poll, we believe the majority of our constituents support the implementation of the package and are grateful for the unprecedented investment in our community. Our community has been talking about the grade separated intersection at Rio and these parallel roads for decades, as you've just heard from Sally Thomas. We hope that you'll vote today to move forward and award the contract and support the solutions package. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Palmer. Ms. Malik, Ann Malik, and then Tripp Pollard.
Good morning, Secretary Lane, Commissioner Kilpatrick, and board members. Thank you for having us today. My name is Ann Malik. I represent the Whitehall District on the board, on the Alamo County Board of Supervisors, and am chair-elect for this year with the Metropolitan Planning Organization. As the MPO rep, we are strongly in support and representing our board's decision on that matter to carry forward the solutions. And thank you all for your confidence in us, for the planning panel, the delivery panel, and all of the extra work which VDOT is doing to really have this beautifully transparent delivery. I would like just to take a minute to give some different points of view of a couple of points which were raised. To me, this is not a bypass issue because the grade separated intersection improvements have been in our plans when the bypass was not on the table. It has been a very important element. As Mr. Lockwood was referred to, he spent his 3 days looking at our plan and remarkably came up with the same solutions that we had had for the last 20 years, which is developing parallel roads for our locals to get out of the way of the through traffic, to be able to access 29 to shop at good, well-defined crossovers and provide better circulation all the way around. So I agree with their conclusion that the parallel roads are essential, but without the intersection, it all fails. And one item which was not discussed in my listening yesterday to your discussion was the huge benefit to pedestrian traffic, which the improvement of the grade separated interchange will provide. We have thousands of residents and apartments on either side of this intersection, a public library, lots and lots of new growth, as Mr. Chiquette mentioned yesterday, with the new hotel and new businesses popping up, which are coming with full knowledge that this intersection is being built. So to me, this is a benefit, and to understand that in the long view, businesses will see a great improvement. More people will come to the area because they know they have better options for shopping and for access, and we will lose the perception that you can't get there from here, as the old main story goes. So I see this as a huge benefit in the long run. And I don't think the long run is going to take very long to arrive. The day that the John Warner Parkway opened in the city, we had a remarkable increase in traffic backups at the Rio light, especially southbound, turning eastbound onto Rio to go to the parkway. So we didn't have to wait 10 years for that change to happen. It is here. And I'm eagerly awaiting this project construction.
30 seconds.
Thank you very much for your support and for your patience with our community.
Thank you very much. Tripp Pollard. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, members of the board. I'm Tripp Pollard, the Director of Land and Community Program with the Southern Environmental Law Center. I'd like to quickly address three items in 3 minutes. First is the Coalfield Expressway. You've heard some concerns with the environmental impacts of this project, which Southern Environmental Law Center does share. We have, however, been discussing this project with the administration, and I think we've reached a framework for which we can move forward, and at least we do not oppose the resolution before you today, because it is more targeted to completing the section of Corridor K, of the Coalfield Expressway that overlaps with Corridor Q. So that is a narrower piece of a much larger issue that you heard people talk about today. And part of the work going forward will be to minimize any environmental results to result from that four-mile section. But we do not oppose you all approving that four-mile section if these additional safeguards are taken. Second, Route 29. I've worked to improve this corridor for over 20 years, and I want to thank the Secretary, the Commissioner, Philip Chiquette, for all the work they've done. These improvements have been discussed for decades, have been studied again and again. What's before you and what you all actually already approved funding last year is a package of improvements that will benefit both through and local traffic. As Philip Chiquette said yesterday, some people weren't happy it didn't go far enough. Some people thought it went too far. I think that this is a very good, effective package that will address both through and local traffic. The city, the county, the MPO, the state all support it. It's funded, and we should move ahead. There has been some misinformation, as Mr. Chiquette went through yesterday, some additional mention today, including for the first time I'd heard that your remarks, Mr. Secretary, somehow justify not moving ahead, when I heard something completely opposite every time I've ever heard you discuss this topic, but I'll let you speak for yourself. The bottom line is we have the city, county, MPO, the state on the same page, we have the studies, and we need to move forward. I urge you to approve this contract. Finally, I'd like to address the proposed Route 460. Unlike the 29 bypass, this has not had advisory committees, this has not had extensive study of the proposal ahead of you. I've worked on this project for 15 years, mainly fighting a 55-mile new train highway that is no longer on the table. There is now a 70-mile project that has been before you all for 1 month. 1 month. We do not know how well it stacks up against other alternatives. We strongly support improving 460, hurricane evacuation, and access to the port, but we think there are better alternatives, and these have not been studied. We urge you to put this off, study it using the HB2 type framework, and as you said yesterday, it's important to be sure that we are spending all of our money wisely. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pollard. That is all the people that I have that have signed up. Is there anybody else that would like to address the board this morning? Mr. Chiquette.
Mr. Secretary, members of the board, I had my opportunity to talk to you yesterday about Route 29, but I want to speak to you today a bit about Route 460. As you know, for the last year I've had an opportunity to serve as an advisor to Commissioner Kilpatrick and to Ms. Dean and her supplemental environmental impact study team. I would just note for the board's information that the preferred location before you does fix the flooding problem at Zuni and provides an opportunity to improve emergency evacuation that does not currently exist today. The preferred location provides an opportunity to improve safety on existing 460 by removing traffic and possibly trucks from existing 460 from its eastern terminus through the town of Windsor. A year ago, we were at a place where there was absolutely no opportunity to obtain a permit going forward on Route 460 with over 600 acres of wetlands impact. Because of the careful coordination and deliberate work of Ms. Dean's team with Federal Highway Administration and the Army Corps of Engineers, we now have a reasonable opportunity to get a permit on an alternative that the Corps has indicated is the preliminary, least environmentally practical, damaging alternative. If we have the opportunity to move forward, then the work of design can begin to develop a specific design and roadway network that meets the needs not only of VDOT, but also of the Corps, the Federal Highway Administration, the Town of Windsor, and the County of Isle of Wight. I just thought it was important to make those points, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Chiquette. Thank you very much. Anyone else that would like to address this board this morning before we close public comment? Well, hearing none, I appreciate everyone's comments. We've gone a little bit longer, a lot longer than we normally do, but I thought it was important for everybody to be heard, and I appreciate the remarks. And please, if moving you along, please do not need to be discourteous, but we do have quite a bit to get accomplished today. So thank you very much for all the public's comments. We'll now move into our formal session. The first order of business is the approval of the prior meeting's minutes. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on these minutes? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The first item, the chair is going to use his prerogative to pass that by to the next meeting, which is the resolution concerning I-66. So we will pass that by in the next meeting. And at the work session, we will get briefed, and then we'll have a resolution for you at the March meeting on that. We now have the maintenance division. Mr. Gregg, he's here. Kevin, good to see you. Got a few things to go through this morning.
And Mr. Secretary, I don't think we introduced Kevin Gregg. He is our new maintenance division administrator. Kevin worked in the Franklin residency as a resident engineer, left to the private sector, and has decided to come back and work with us again. So again, Kevin Gregg.
Mr. Gregg, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Mr.
And
Chairman.
Welcome to your first drilling. So,
thank you,
glad
sir.
Glad to have you. So, appreciate
members
you.
Of the CTB, this morning I have three items to bring before you. Two, naming of bridges, and one abandonment. Do I take those namings separately? Yes.
Yeah, take them separately. Yes, yes, sir.
Okay. The first one's in the Culpeper District. The Fauquier County Board of Supervisors has requested to memorialize Private First Class Ray Preston Rankin and name the bridge on US 29 and 17 on Route 643, the PFC Clay Preston Rankin Memorial Bridge.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Gregg?
Second item is in the Lynchburg District. Halifax Town Council requested to memorialize the life of James Stone Easley and name the bridge on Virginia Scenic Byway 360 over the Bannister River, Town of Halifax, James Stone Easley Memorial Bridge.
Ms. Valentine.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Mr. Gregg.
The third item is in the Fredericksburg District, and it's the abandonment of a portion of Route 205 in the town of Colonial Beach. Town of Colonial Beach has initiated a pedestrian access project, and this just involves abandoning about 100 feet of Route 205. Our staff has reviewed this and recommend approval.
All right, Mr. Connors.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Williams. Any discussion?
I have one question on the abandonment. Who's it abandoned to?
It'll be abandoned and used by the town of Colonial Beach.
Any other comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, thank you. All right, thank you, Mr. Gregg. We'll see you later this afternoon, or later this morning, maybe on State of Good Repair. Mr. Frasher, good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir, members of the board. Item number five, the limited access modification in our Stanton district, widening Route 277, located in Frederick County. Design public hearing was held on 24th of 2014. Frederick County has endorsed the limited access modification. It has been approved by FHWA. We ask now for the board's approval of the modification.
Mr. Whitworth is not here. Is there a motion?
So moved.
So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
I hear second?
Second.
Second. Okay, got it. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you, Mr. Crasher.
Thank you, sir.
Ms. Snyder. Good morning.
Good morning. I have one item this morning to request your approval on. It is a locality land conveyance. The City of Virginia Beach has petitioned for the transfer and conveyance of the right-of-way and permanent easements for Route 60 project in the City of Virginia Beach.
Mr. Malden.
So moved.
Second, anybody?
Second.
Mr. Williams, second. Any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Ms. Pryor.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, members of the board. I have two items for you today. The first is an administrative change to an existing CTB policy on the systematic review, which requires the reallocation of funds no longer needed for the execution of a project. In December of 2013, the board amended this policy to require an annual certification by the Chief Financial Officer of DRPT, as well as the Chief of Planning and Programming of VDOT. And based on some organizational changes, we're simply amending this existing resolution to require the certification from VDOT's Chief Financial Officer. I request your approval of this change.
Do you have any comments, Mr. Kilpatrick?
No, again, just organizationally, John Lawson, as the CFO, is responsible for the programming division as part of his charge.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Motion. Any other discussion of the board? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Ms. Pryor.
The second item is our normal monthly transfers. We are transferring funds from completed or surplus funds from projects to existing projects, and I request your approval of these transfers.
Should have had these out for about a week or so. I think that's correct. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second?
Second. Okay.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Ms. Pryor. Mr. Brule.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have three access projects for your consideration today. The first one is an economic development access project to serve the K2M company in the town of Leesburg. K2M is making a $28 million investment in a new facility in Leesburg, and the project would result in the construction of a new road to serve their facility. We're recommending an allocation of $650,000. That's $500,000 unmatched and $150,000 matched towards the estimated cost of $1.5 million for their access project. We recommend your approval.
Mr. Karzewski.
Motion.
Is there a second? Mr. Casper, second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Mr. Brule.
Next item is a recreational access project in Fauquier County to serve the Central Sports Complex. This project would widen Route 643, construct turn lanes at the park entrance, and also provide for a 10-foot multi-use trail. The estimated cost is just under $900,000 for the roadway improvements and $90,000 for the bikeway improvements. We're recommending the maximum allocation available under the program of $350,000. Again, that's $250,000 unmatched, $100,000 matched for the roadway, and $75,000 for the bikeway, $60,000 being unmatched and $15,000 being matched. We recommend your approval.
Mr. Tom? Second, anyone?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Ms. Brule?
Last one is an action on a recreational access to Horner Park in Chesterfield County. The board actually approved an allocation, similar allocation back in 2003 that's still on the books. The situation has changed slightly. The termini of the project have been shifted, and the contingencies that were on the project back in 2000 have now been cleared. So the resolution before you today modifies the termini and would reconfirm the allocation made in 2003. Totaling $350,000 for access to Horner Park.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dalton. Any other discussion or comments?
Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question?
You certainly may.
How long once we make that allocation from the fund, can they hold up? Can a locality hold on to it until it's a different project?
Generally, they don't hang on quite as long as this one has. This particular park needed some improvements to a secondary road that have just recently been completed. That was part of the contingency, so this one's a little unusual. In fact, the line item before it, the Central Sports Complex, had a previous allocation that we had deallocated, and they've come back as a new project. So that's more what we typically see, but this Horner Park one's a little bit unusual.
Any other comments or questions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you, Mr. Brule. Ms. Dean.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, members of the board. I have two resolutions before you this morning. The first one is for Route 460. The board is being asked to rescind the location decision arrived at in November of 2005 and adopt the new location as presented to this board at the January 2014 meeting and then reviewed again yesterday. The resolution provides for that location decision to also include selection of the no build from the western end of Zunai to the western terminus that was studied in the SEIS. The resolution also includes designation of the new location portion of the preferred alternative to be limited access, with specific determinations regarding access being made during the development of the project's design.
Mr. Cole.
Move approval of the resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any discussion for the board? Any comments? Yes, Mr. Williams.
Just to acknowledge that I'll be abstaining on it because of the close financial relationship with one of the members of the team.
One abstention. Any other comments?
I had a just before we vote on this, I want to say I appreciate all the hard work and where we are. I asked some questions yesterday about limited access and about coming back to look at that and to make sure that the interchange the interchanges were most advantageously located for economic development, pursuant to the comments from the chairman of the board of supervisors of the county. And so I understand those decisions haven't been made yet. I'm supporting this with the understanding that those decisions will be located.
Did you have a comment?
Just that Mr. Dyke, who isn't able to be here today, asked me to convey to all of you that he supports the plan as it's been proposed as well.
Mr. Chairman, I'm abstaining, as I mentioned yesterday. I have potential conflict.
Okay, two abstentions. Ms. Valentine.
I have a question. I just want to make sure, because I had to leave for a prior commitment yesterday afternoon, this resolution, we are not approving this alternative, but we are adopting this corridor so that work can continue, so we can continue working.
But you are approving this. You are approving this new corridor and this new alignment. You are discarding the old alignment, and you are approving this alignment.
So that we could move forward with the permitting process.
That's correct. Yes, there is no guarantee of getting a permit. The Corps has suggested it's a permittable, and as Mr. Shuchat pointed out, it is the least impactful and moves the purpose of need, but we will have to go through the permitting process. There will be lots of time for other public comment.
Thank you.
Yes. But I want to make clear, you are vacating the previous old record of decision. This will be a new location.
So, Mr. Secretary, at what point would it come back to the board?
To be honest with you, it does not have to come back to the board, but I have made the commitment that I will keep the board informed. This was procured under a P3 procurement, and once we have a location, administration would be able to go through this, but I have said I will come back to the board and inform them of where we're going. But once you do this, you are allowing the BDOT and myself working with them in trying to determine if we have a project that is financially feasible going forward.
Yes, Mr. President. Secretary, given what your last statement, that includes the fact that the P3 partner, if you will have to be negotiated with, I guess, or consulted with to come to some kind of satisfactory conclusion to that business relationship.
That is
where that's going to lead, that we'll have to know about too, because ultimately that will impact where this goes.
Yes. Now, let me make clear, without this vote, then the project is dead. We will have no choice but to go and settle up with the contractor, because we have a contract that is on a specific line. And if there is no additional alignment, there's nothing to negotiate. We're just done. We'll go pay the penalties, whatever that is. And we could continue forward potentially, but I don't know what the obligations would be. We do know the old alignment cannot receive a permit. So we know that alignment cannot be built.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question? That the old alignment was approved under different P3 guidelines. Since that project was approved, we now have a new set of guidelines.
That's right.
Where are we? There were three opportunities for oversight. Where are we?
Through them all. Even under the new, we're at a contract stage. We have signed a contract. We're at a contract. I've told you, I'm going to come back and keep you informed. But we're at a contract stage, so even on the new guidelines, all the oversight is done. You have gotten and briefed on what I plan to do and everything going forward. You know the business terms. You know everything on this contract. What I don't know, and I'll come back to you, is the business terms that we will go forward with, assuming we vote today to move forward with this new alignment. I've made it clear, working with with VDOT, that a big decision as to whether we ultimately move forward is our negotiations with the third-party contractor, in addition to receiving a permit. So this does not necessarily mean this is a done deal. It does mean we will use our best efforts to bring before you not something just to be doing, We do believe the new road does meet the purpose and need. We wouldn't move forward at all if we couldn't do that. And it is the best for transportation. But it is not the guarantee that we are ultimately going to build this road. We have about 9 months worth of work, or maybe a year of public output, and our negotiations with our third party, our contractor.
Mr. Secretary,
yes.
One other follow-up question to that. With the negotiations with the contractor, once they are concluded one way or another with your office and the contractor, and there is some kind of plan put forward by both the contractor and the Commonwealth, will that come back to CTB?
Yes, and let me make clear, I will keep you informed. I do not need your vote.
But there's not a decision. Okay, yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, there is. I do not need your vote. I want to make that clear. But I have, I also feel like that the CTB is a very valuable resource. I think, and I've shown that. So I will heed your advice, but I want to make clear I do not need your approval. Or the VDOT does not need your approval, but I have made the commitment that I would seek your input.
Mr. Chairman, as we look at the ultimate design, because this is going to have to be redesigned in some ways.
That's correct.
From the existing road. And as we look at that redesign, I would hope that we would also look at other projects that may feed into this project. For example, access to the Shirley Holland Industrial Park, and what improvements might need to be made in order to facilitate that access to this new road. That would be a different funding source, and that would probably, I guess, would have to come back to us.
That would be, yes.
But I hope that we're looking at, because the road has changed, I think we need to look at that focus as well, and I hope we will be able to do that.
I think a successful project would be the three criteria were the mobility, economic development, hurricane evacuation safety. All three, I agree with you. I don't think having one or the other may dictate where we go, and certainly the financial considerations. We do have $300 million, roughly $250 million paid to a contractor that can't get into specifics, but certainly can make the comment we do believe that there is credit due us for some of those works performed.
Right, and just to make the point, Mr. Chairman, while you don't have to come back to the board for anything else, you don't have to come back to pull the plug on this if we can't reach a negotiated settlement with the contractor.
That's correct. I do not have to. That's right. Now, as I told the board, I'm going to come back and advise you as to what our recommendation would be. But technically, that's correct. So is everybody, Mr. Casper?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Farrell's come on pulling the plug. In yesterday's discussion, the commission mentioned that this may be a new negotiation with new construction partners. Is that an option that you have under this agreement?
If we go to a new procurement, then it comes back to the board.
Okay,
we go to a new procurement where we say, I can't get it done with this constraint, and we believe that's the right bait, that does come back. But we're in a procurement that was approved under the old guidelines. But even under the new, we're well beyond where we would be in that. But I have briefed you on all the details that I'm aware of. And so the decision before you is if we do not go forward, I think it's a very, very small chance that we do anything at 460. If we do go forward, there's a better chance. I can't tell you exactly what it would be, but we know we cannot build. This contractor has a contract on a specific alignment that we know we cannot build on. So there's no negotiating with it. Without this day's vote, there's no negotiating with it. We will just simply settle up and determine what's in the best interest from there. But so that's the ramifications. This doesn't mean if we do vote that we actually got a project. It does mean if we don't, the chance we probably don't have a project at all in the quarter. Any other questions or concerns or comments? Okay, we have a motion and we have a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
One opposed. So does that, we had two abstentions and one opposed. So the new alignment passes. Thank you, Ms. Dean. We will report back as we continue on this process. Ms. Dean, you're up again.
Sure.
Next, I have before the board a revision to the location for what is termed Section 3B of Route 121, formerly known as the Coalfields Expressway. This board, in August of 2000, approved the location for Route 121 throughout its length. Subsequent to that approval, and as provided for in the record of decision, that corridor was divided into sections of independent utility. And since 2004, this board has considered and approved changes to those sections of independent utility location changes. There are five sections in total. 3B is one of those five sections. The resolution before you asks that you change the location for 3B, limited to the overlap portion with quarter Q. It's a 4.1-mile section. And then the remaining segment of 3B would remain as approved in 2000.
Mr. Matt.
I will abstain on this vote.
Okay. That's right. Is there a motion?
So moved.
So moved. Mr. Rosen, is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Comments? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Ms. Dean. Resolution passes. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Siles. Yes, there you are. Good to see you, sir. And I suspect we should take these individually. Obviously, Route 29 will be in here, so we're going to have that vote recorded differently. So, Mr. Siles.
Since the board last met, the department took in bids on 76 projects, valued at $346 million. Of those five, valued at nearly $240 million, need to come before the board for award. The first project before you today is what we call order number 221. This is an asphalt resurfacing project in the Salem District in three counties. We had but one bid, and even though it is over the engineer's estimate, we have reevaluated this and found it to be a good value and recommend award to Adams Construction Company.
Mr. Chairman, just quickly, why one bid, Charlie?
This is in the, if you look at the counties, Carroll, Pulaski, and Roanoke, there is limited, frankly, limited competition in that portion of the state.
You need to open up an asphalt plant out there. Will you? I would move to adopt.
Move. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Contracts awarded.
Next project is order number 911. This is a contract in Prince William County. We had two bidders. We have analyzed this bid, found it represents good value, and recommend award to Virginia Paving Company.
Mr. Garzinski. Motion. Is there a second? One abstention. Is there a second? Mr. Cole, any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's approved. Sir.
Next project is the I-81 interchange project at Route 37 in Frederick County. We had three competitors. We think the bid represents good value and recommending award to General Excavation, Inc.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
So moved by Mr. Prelin. Second.
Second.
I'm looking around the room.
Whoa. Making my man nervous up here,
right,
guys.
That's right.
I wanted to see any, sweat a little bit.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Contracts approved.
The next project is a Route 29 solution in Culpeper District, Albemarle County. We had three competitors on this design-build project. We think it represents excellent value. And we're recommending award to Lane Corman Joint Venture.
Let me make one comment. Lane is no, it's spelled L-A-N-E, not L-A-Y-N-E, just to make that record clear. No relation.
Unfortunately, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Thomas. There's a motion. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Rosen. Any discussion on this project?
Jim Dyke asked me to let you all know that he supports this as proposed as well.
So we just automatically work through Jennifer, right?
Yeah.
She's your proxy.
Any other discussion? Yes, Ms. Valentine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yesterday when this came up, I walked in just as Mr. Chouquette was on the slide, which showed that the road between 29250 and Rio Road was one of the busiest roads in all of Virginia. It certainly stood out in central Virginia as being a very busy and congested residents. And listening to all the comments today, while there might not be total agreement on the entire package, I believe that there is consensus that doing nothing is not an option. And I do believe that when the numbers came up yesterday, moving 43,000 cars under the intersection at Ryer Road, taking 43,000 cars, even though it is in the future, off that highway would make a tremendous difference. But I think we all agree that this is not an ultimate solution, that when you look at the local traffic and the through traffic that goes through Charlottesville, I think Mr. Chouquette's words were, when you saw that, I can understand why people in Lynchburg and along 29 could be upset and concerned about this. And I really believe that one of the issues that you and I discussed before I joined the board and came up in the 29 advisory panel is that we continue to work towards a long-term solution for 29. And one of the things that, Mr. Secretary, that I would like to ask is, as we approve this, that perhaps we could work on a plan for how we could do that moving forward.
I have been, it's like I'm quoted on both sides of the issue here. What I've said is they're not mutually exclusive projects. They're both needed projects, these solutions, and I think Ms. Malik in her testimony pointed out also. I think we ought to continue to study the corridor. I don't know that that really means a greenfield project. It could be existing. So I'll ask Mr. Kilpatrick, we'll take a look at how, come back to make some proposals to the board as to how we might look at alternatives to end that corridor. I don't ever want to call it the Route 29 study. We'll call it something different because, but I do think the continued movement, that is a corridor of statewide significance. I believe what this package, is the recommendation is part of it, but there are some other issues, and I think continued looking at how we use existing right-of-ways and others is something, so we will come back to you at the next meeting with some suggestions as to how we might proceed in that.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Yes.
Mr. Secretary, I'd like to make a comment before we go on this. Being cognizant of the fact that the perfect is sometimes the enemy of the good, I still have reservations about this project. For the amount of money we're spending, I'm concerned about whether it's really going to affect through traffic. I hope I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. And I am, after 30 years, the final solution, or the maybe interim solution, is to eliminate one stoplight or two, concerns me. So I just wanted to express that. I am concerned. I think that if you look at the traffic numbers that were presented by one of the speakers, it's true, traffic counts through there are down. I think they're down there because other people in the state are avoiding it. And because it's a quagmire.
Any other comments, Aaron? Oh, yes.
Just briefly, in my past position, I've been dealing with this Route 29 process for as long as probably anybody in the room. I think somewhere along the line, a better prospect was hijacked. It went away. And we're sitting here today, and this is what we have before us. The bypass, the greenfield idea is gone, and it's not coming back. I think VDOT's done a tremendous job trying to put a package of projects together that will serve some need. I don't think at the end of the day it's enough, but it's going to serve. None of it is wasting money. The people that live there deserve some relief. I know the businesses are going to hurt, but you can't build projects for today. You got to build you got to build them and look down the road. I'm going to support this. And the price, if I remember right, compared to the other two selected competitors was a tremendous number and was way under our estimate.
That's correct.
These are the Lane Corman groups, a great group of contractors. I'm sure we're going to get a good project. I plan to support it.
Any other comments of the board? All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
One opposition. Project passes, awarded. Thank you, Mr. Salis. Next.
And the final project today is an I-64 widening project. in the Hampton Roads District, City of Newport News. We had three competitors. We've analyzed these bids, and we find that they represent excellent value. We're recommending award to Shirley Contracting Company.
Mr. Kilpatrick.
If I could speak just for a minute to this project. This is the first project using HR TAC funds, as well as, in this case, $100 million in state funds to deliver this segment one of the widening of I-64. And all of us that have been to Hampton Roads have been waiting for this day to begin the widening beyond Jefferson heading towards towards Williamsburg. This project came in with an excellent price. We have a very strong team. We're confident in their ability to deliver this project. Following behind this will be phases two and three. Phase two goes to essentially the area of Busch Gardens, and then phase three takes you through the Williamsburg area to Lightfoot, and those will be coming, those contracts will come to you in the future. Those two contracts, phase two and three, are 100% funded by HR TAC funds. We will be administering and delivering those projects on their behalf. But again, this is a, I think this is an excellent opportunity that we're seeing the HR TAC funds going to work and moving forward with this project.
Mr. Malman, is there a motion?
I have to abstain.
You have to abstain. Would anybody else like to?
I would move.
All right, Ms. Williams makes a motion.
Second.
Is there a second, Ms. Valentine? Any other comments or discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I had a question on,
yes,
on this. What on the HR on the Hampton Road Transportation Authority funds? What's the percentage that the state's paying and the percentage that they're?
In round numbers, it's $100 million in state funds and it's $44 million in HR TAC funds. Unexpended HR TAC funds on this, they would again be able to reprogram. At this point, my recommendation to the HR TAC would be to move that money, any balances available, onto phase two and then ultimately onto phase three, so that because phases two and three are in, I'll call it, the preliminary stages, there may be some scope things that we go through, things that the members of HR TAC want as part of that project. So I think it's prudent to follow that way.
But Chris, the next two phases, several hundred million dollars, all regional monies.
Okay.
We had $100 million.
It's not going to change.
On the other two, it's all
100% HR TAC
on the next two phases.
How far do we go up 64 before we get out of HR TAC jurisdiction?
The end of this road is 199.
Yeah, the
right of Williamsburg.
The county line, I think, is at Route 30. It's mile marker 2. I'm gonna get to around 216, something in that area. So there's a from Lightfoot, you have I think there's two other minor interchanges before you get to 30. But again, this is gonna address a significant amount of congestion because it will pick you up at when phase three is completed. Lightfoot, which is the primary kind of the eastern or the western entrance into Williamsburg, will take you all the way to Jefferson in Newport News.
Now we're working with and suggested to the Richmond MPO. We do have monies from 295 going a little bit south. The DMV has monies to relocate their way station. So we're asking them to see if we can work with them to get some things started from 295 coming the other way, at least through the way station
in Bottoms Bridge Interchange.
And while we still would have, 17 or 20 miles in between?
Yes, about 20 miles.
The majority, if you look at the congestion, the majority of our incidents would be taken care of in that. So asking them to do that, and this will bring in the topic of, all we'll do is now get them to the bridge tunnel and stop them, but we can talk about that another time. But nonetheless, we're working through that. Mr. Williams.
The phase two and three will be a recompete, right?
Absolutely. Yes. There will be separate contracts.
Design build.
They are both design build contracts. We expect to go out with initiate procurement this spring on phase two. I just don't recall the time frame on phase three, but we're following them sequentially.
I want to commend the commissioner and VDOT working with HR TAC. It was not an easy task getting the agreement because they're a new organization, but it has worked out and.
believe we have a good arrangement with them in that issue.
Don't have a bank.
Yes, sir. Any other discussion? Yes.
Jim Dyke supports this as well.
So you have been the savant here the last couple of days. All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the contract is awarded. Thank you, Mr. Silas. I think that concludes you. I think that includes the formal section. Is there any new business to come before the board? Mr. Kilpatrick.
Probably as good a time as any. Two things. We're expecting some weather again today. Pretty quick moving storm, but may drop as much as 4 inches in higher elevations of the state. An inch elsewhere with the temperatures we're having. We're likely to have some, it'll stick. Our folks are continuing 24-hour operations until it's done, and it won't be done until it's done. But again, our folks are aggressively attacking this. We're also expecting temperatures below zero in parts of the state tonight and possibly tomorrow night. I also need to alert the board, we had two fatalities related to snow operations. I don't know all of the details. One was in the Hampton Roads District. A motorist struck a piece of equipment in snow operations. And in the Richmond District, early this morning, a pedestrian, actually a bicyclist, was struck in a snow removal operation and killed. So, again, very unfortunate circumstances. I just don't know the details at this point. So I thought it was important to notify the board.
Yeah, comment on that. Obviously, been in constant contact with the governor's office. VDOT is charged with keeping the roads cleared. Obviously, they're in treacherous conditions. There are issues that happen, and our state police work and determine the cause of accidents. But when we report that things are, what we're talking about is closed roads that are closed or open. That's what we're looking for. So, in other words, that doesn't mean there might be some incidents that happen around the Commonwealth, but our duty is to keep the roads open. And that's really, but I want to thank the commissioner and had a chance yesterday to go to the change of shift early yesterday morning with the governor out at Chesterfield and our crews, what they do. And I can tell you one of the, it's a lot of work, but one of the most honored or things most significant of being secretary is seeing how these guys, what they do, what our state police do, all these guys, what to keep us safe. We take it for granted, but there's a lot of people's lives that are working around the clock that do a lot of good work for us. So I want to officially commend not only the department, but all the people associated with it, including state police and other responders, because yesterday, I believe, we're trying to go back and look. Every locality in the Commonwealth had measurable snowfall. And we don't know the last time that's happened. So we were at full, battle gear the entire state still on in there. So really was a magnificent thing. So Mr. Williams.
And just to add to that, Mr. Chairman, that VDOT has a tremendous private partnership with the private sector to help them in the snow removal. And they don't just hire them and expect them to be trained. They go to their places and train them.
Yep.
So it's whether it's kind of VDOT sticker on it or a private contractor sticker on it, they've been through the same training and processes that the VDOT drivers have, and it's why it works so good. I've never seen a snow event of this magnitude and not heard any complaints. And I know that was certainly a tragedy that happened this morning, but I mean, I told Christian last night, they really nailed this one. I mean, they really did. Deserve a lot of credit.
Okay, any other new business?
Well, so can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
One of the things I know, and this was in Vernon City, so this wasn't VDOT, this is the city. At what temperature do you not put salt down? Because it's starting melt and then refreeze and then harder.
So there's two different things. One relates to what we call a brining operation, which
right.
is done before a snow event. And what we're basically doing is it's a liquid salt brine solution that we spray on the road, and it's usually apparent you'll see a series of streaks on the road. That typically means we've used liquid brine, we're spraying the roadway. The challenge, though, is under certain temperatures, well, two things. If it's going to rain before it snows, it just washes it away. If it is certain pavement temperatures, it also can flash freeze on us. And so now what you've done is you've created, it will, the it will freeze before, because the salinity is not high enough, it will freeze before it dries. And the goal is you put it down in liquid form, it dries, and now you have salt kind of in the pavement. But if it freezes too quick, then you end up with, we call it being, the road gets greasy, it gets slick, and it can cause other problems. Regular rock salt, which is what we use applying during snow operations, it can work down into single digits. It just works much slower. And it's difficult to put it on dry pavement because, frankly, in many cases, it just bounces off. The other thing is you put it down and try and melt some snow, and then the plow comes through and we clip it off. So it isn't a miracle cure. There is no magic material that will cook it off. It's brute force is what we use, frankly.
So the sun.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Any other? I see Mr. Donahue there. You all know that our legislature is in town. And so he and I have been shuttling back and forth on the governor's legislation. I know there have been some changes. So, Mr. Donahue, would you take a few minutes and just update the board on that before we come out of formal session?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I am here to give you kind of a brief update on the two pieces of governor's legislation. Just as a quick reminder, there's one bill that deals with codifying three of the reforms to the public-private partnership process here. That bill passed the House essentially unmodified 98-0 a few weeks ago. We expect that it will be considered by the Senate Transportation full committee this afternoon. It was reported unanimously out of subcommittee yesterday. At this point, we're not aware of any concerns or opposition to this legislation, and we look forward to seeing it advance through the legislative process. The second governor's bill that is before the General Assembly was the omnibus transportation bill that I briefed the board on at its last meeting. There have been some changes to this bill that I want to make the board aware of. In the House, the amount of funding that was transferred to transit in the original bill was $50 million. The House reduced that to $40 million. They also, Mr. Chairman, I believe they also added some additional requirements regarding fixed rail transit projects and required that should the board fund a fixed rail transit project, even with just mass transit capital funds, that project would be required to be reviewed under the House Bill 2 process. That bill then reported out of the House, or excuse me, was voted successfully in the House on a margin of 96-2. We have been working with the Senate Transportation Committee on this bill, and they did modify the bill yesterday afternoon after I left the board. That's where I went. And they changed that several things within the bill. Most of them deal with the highway allocation formula that was proposed. And so the major changes the committee examined yesterday, as introduced, the bill would have distributed the funds for construction with 40% for state of good repair, 30% for high priority projects, and 30% for the construction district grant programs. The committee yesterday revised those amounts so that it would be 45% for state of good repair and then 27.5% respectively for the other two grant programs. Mr. Chairman, they also inserted a floor into the state of good repair program. So as introduced, there was language saying that no one district could receive more than 17.5% of that program. Some of the members of the Senate Transportation Subcommittee had some concerns that some districts might fall too low and that there may not be an equitable distribution of those funds, and so they did insert a floor of 5.5%. The other change that was made yesterday is they did put some provisions regarding the authority that allowed DRPT to enter into a 20-year availability payment, public-private partnership to improve passenger rail on the 95 corridor, that really just deal with the amount and uses of funds that can be used to support that project, Mr. Chairman. And so that bill will also be for the Senate Transportation Subcommittee this afternoon, or full committee, excuse me. Yesterday, the subcommittee was where they were hearing testimony, and at that time, no one spoke in opposition to the bill, so we also look forward to seeing that legislation move through the process.
Just a couple comments in that the reallocation is not material to us. In other words, we're comfortable with that, and we're going to have state of good repair this afternoon, or a little bit later this morning. I think you'll see that getting more to state of good repair is not going to be an issue in that. The other thing is that the floor is what I'll call an out-of-the-money floor. We don't ever show it getting to that anyway. But it was just a protection, and I think for some of the smaller community, a rule and I, we have no issue with, saying you can't get below, because I will tell you, in the foreseeable future, as long as I think any of us are on the board, we got plenty of state of good repair to do, so I don't think it'll ever come into play. So I don't know if the patron knew. I think Nick and I will recommend to the governor that we're okay with these changes, and I think they still are the spirit. But, of course, the patron of the bill was Delegate Jones, and he will have to approve them also. In that, so we're going to meet with him later this afternoon. But I don't think it significantly changes, you know, whether it's a few dollars more in one pot and the other. They're all either asset managed or they're competitively bid, and I don't think we're, you know, it's not that significant in terms of us and our ability to allocate funds.
Mr. Chairman, yes, I'd like to make a comment on the P3 guidelines. You know, a lot of times. We see in the news coverage and editorials about, you know, divided government, people can't get along, and I think in the the 460 issue created a significant pressure on the P3 design, the program. Commissioner Williams and I worked on that. We as a board worked hard on that. We got a solution together, at guidelines. The governor supported that. It's gone to the House and the Senate. So far, so good. Everybody seems to support that. And that is an example of government working the right way. And, you know, it's not going to get a bunch of coverage, at least in those terms, but it really is. And I think for Doug Colomay and his staff, should be commended. And Nick should be commended, too, and the Secretary for answering those questions and working that out. I think it's a great result.
Thank you for your comments very much. Any other comments before we go to adjourn? What we'll do is once we adjourn the formal session, I think we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll reconvene the workshop and go through State of Good Repair. It looks like we'll be... probably out of here around noon or so. We'll see how it goes in that. So, with no other new business, we will formally close the formal session. We'll take about 10-minute break. How about that, guys? It's at 10:30. We'll get back, and we'll have Mr. Chief Engineer start with us on State of Good Repair. Thank everybody for their thoughtful and votes. No matter which way you voted, I believe that was a good discussion we had on those topics. So thank you.